עוד יותר, יוצרי התוכן של ישראל.
Welcome back, guys. Yeah. We're super excited.
Very excited.
We have here with us today, Aylon Levy.
You're super excited. I'm super excited.
I'm super excited. For those who don't know, most of you guys know, Aylon Levy was voted as our biggest wartime hero.
Which is ridiculous.
And and he was our former Ole of the Week.
Your rise to fame was through Ole of the Week.
Exactly. And so Olim in Tel Aviv has played a critical contribution to the nation's Hasbara efforts. Thank you.
Actually, Michael Rappaport tagged me in a reel and he was like, tag your favorite wartime like advocacy Instagram accounts, and he tagged Olim in TLB. So it's so important
that even in these ridiculous circumstances when everything looks so awful, that your page is showing everyone how fun and lively and eccentric life in Tel Aviv is and reminds us what we're fighting for.
Oh, that was so sweet. Thank you.
I have to give a positive spin on it.
So we're also here with Matan, and not to be controversial, but Matan was voted last year's Israel's Most Wanted Eligible Bachelor. And I think Aylon Levy might take that title away from him this year. I'm willing to put money on it.
You know, Matan, I was at the gig you did the other week with Michael Rappaport, and they said, we're glad to welcome Israel's Most Eligible Bachelor. I was like, oh, not again. Leave me alone. And they said, Matan Peres. Like, yes, thank you. There is a God.
I'm happy. I took it off your shoulders. Yeah, absolutely.
That was such a fun night.
Yeah, I was an eligible bachelor for like 20 minutes, and then the word broke out and everything went
to shit. And now no longer eligible or no longer a bachelor?
Oh, that's a good question.
I'm all of those. I think I'm still a bachelor. Let's leave it at that.
But ineligible.
Exactly. Okay, I'm so damaged.
We all are. We're all damaged by now.
So, Aylon, tell us, you're actually an Ole. Tell us your Aliyah story, your background. Just give us the whole spiel.
Wow. I made Aliyah 10 years ago, which is a funny thing to say because October 7th feels like that was 10 years ago already. I just finished my master's in the UK. I grew up in London and said, I want to serve in the Israeli army. I don't know whether I want to live in Israel for good, but I want to serve in Tzahal. It's something I want to get out of the way. So I got on a plane on the last day of Operation Protective Edge, the war with Hamas in 2014. I was sure that I was coming to enlist in the army during wartime, but I landed half an hour after the ceasefire came into effect. It was the most stressful landing ever because the little kid next to me had his nose pressed to the window and said, Daddy, I think I saw a rocket. Okay, you try landing like that. But I landed. The ceasefire had just come into effect. That awful 50-day war, which back then we thought was a long war, was over. And the following morning, 12 hours after landing, I was already at the Bakum, at the enlistment bureau. And I said, hello, I've come to sign up in the army. And the poor Mashakit looked very confused. She said, but you know you don't have to, right? I said, I know. Take me before I change my mind.
How old were you?
23.
Okay. So you served in the army and then you just decided you want to stay here forever.
And realized that being able to go to the beach, not just on the weekend, in the middle of the week is pretty awesome as well. Sometimes I'd had to pinch myself that I could be sitting on Frischmann Beach at 6 o'clock in the evening on a Tuesday and say, I haven't spent hundreds of dollars on flights and hotels to be here on vacation. This is where I live. So yeah, I decided to stay, give it a shot. I started working out in media. At first as a TV news anchor for Israel's public broadcaster, for the English language news show, then for I24 News. And then from there, I was working with President Herzog, our wonderful president, for the first 2 years of his presidency as his foreign media spokesman. And then the war happened. And here we are.
Impressive Aliyah story. Not most Olim.
It's completely standard.
Not like you who ran away, but you know.
He'll never get over.
When the war broke out,
I fled.
Which war broke out?
This war.
No, because there have been so many. I moved here 4 years ago.
So, now you're back.
Now you're back.
I came back. That's all that matters.
That's true.
That's all that matters.
That's very brave of you.
We don't run away.
Guys, stop.
I'm not judging you. I'm just saying.
You're judging.
I'm not judging. I'm just saying in the most non-judgy way, we don't run away.
Exactly.
I won't run away again. Speaking of, are you thinking about moving back to London, or do you see yourself staying here forever? I feel like after being here for 10 years, it's an appropriate question to ask. Like, I'm like, I think I'll be here. I don't know, maybe, but I feel like after 10 years, you just know already, right?
Yeah, if it was an open question before this war, the fact that people are marching through London with my face on protest signs, I can never go back.
That did happen.
Absolutely.
I've been here 10 years. Israel is my home. It feels home. Every time I visit London, it's my childhood home.
Yeah.
But in many ways feels like I'm visiting, and it's an amazing city, and I have family and friends there, and really it's a fantastic place. But Israel is home, and in this war, I think I've been doing a moderately important job. And I think I'm needed here.
You are. You are.
Mm-hmm. So I'll stay.
We need you here. Speaking on behalf of all the girls. So actually, funny story on how Elon and I met through social media. He posted a video or was about to post a video. He was doing an interview, and this guy asked him, where are you from? You don't seem to have an Israeli accent. And then Elon does.
The like, Israeli accent, yeah.
You mean, do it.
Don't sound Israeli.
Classic.
And so he was captioning it, POV, the world discovers you just made Aliyah. So obviously, Olim and TLB. Yeah.
Obviously, all the alarms. Okay.
Yeah. You don't remember, I remember. Okay. But I'm not that important.
No, of course I remember.
Of course.
No, if you say Aliyah three times, no one comes. That's just like Voldemort. You say Aliyah three times in a row, she's like, hey! You want to do a podcast together?
So that's actually how we became. He doesn't remember. I remember. I slid into his DMs. I was like,
obviously.
And then I made him a live of the week, which is how he got to 200K Instagram followers.
Yeah, of course. That's how people recognize him on the street, because of a live of the week.
People should know the investment that goes into setting this podcast up. You didn't just say, hey, do you want to come on the podcast, and came on. Like, this was the result of weeks of persistent lobbying and hard work. 100%. And sliding and slipping and everything.
Dinners and
exactly.
Dinners and comedy shows. And comedy shows. All a part of it. We all knew.
Well, so the comedy show, was it the Elon Levy show or the Matan Peretz and Michael Rappaport show? Because I don't know if you saw, he walked in, everyone
obviously people
was
like,
around him.
It was coming to, you know.
Yeah, but then soon enough, the lights went down and the real stars took the stage.
No. The whole show was about, like, you know, Israel and people, you know, Michael Rappaport, obviously. So the fact
that... Who is an absolute legend.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Elon came and Douglas Murray came and all those people, and obviously Tiffany Haddish.
Yeah,
and
that was crazy. That,
people just told me, like, after the show, like, I couldn't believe. Like, people talk about it, like, listen, I my friends were there. I wish I was there. I don't know. Like, tell me next time. I was like, sure. I'll tell you the next time Douglas Murray and Tiffany Haddish will be in the same room. I'll tell you.
Was 100%. Douglas
there? Yeah.
I don't recall Douglas though.
He was there.
Backstage.
Backstage.
We weren't in the backstage crew. We weren't cool enough.
So I wasn't cool enough to get into the VIP
same.
Green room.
Same. It's okay.
Then.
No, you were invested in the show. Douglas just came like in and out. It was like watching Tiffany and then left. Like,
Douglas is also a real hero in this war. This is a war that has left so many people feeling lonely and isolated, like we don't have friends, like people don't get it, that we feel we're just screaming into the wilderness. And he is one of the voices who absolutely gets it, and not only stands by Israel's side as we do what we have to do, but looks at Israel with a sense of admiration.
That's true.
For values that he wants his own country to adopt as well. The way he speaks about Israel's youth as well. Gen Zionist, as I call them.
I'm sensing a little bromance. Douglas Murray and Elon Levy? Bromance?
Well, if I can plug my own podcast. One of the things I've been doing in this war, I launched a podcast called State of a Nation, where, how do I know what to say when I go on TV as an interviewer? Because I'm having in-depth conversations with the people who know what they're talking about. And the episode with Douglas, we got so absorbed in conversation, we've actually had to split it into two episodes and still edit it down. And the episode with Douglas is by far the most viral Amazing. Episode we've had to date.
We'll have to listen to it.
Amazing.
Like,
State
notes.
Of a Nation.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Good
on
promo.
Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube Podcasts. I hope I don't have to pay you for this sponsorship.
Obviously. He was in the green room and we started talking and he was like, what do you think about it? I was like, who gives a shit about what I think? What do you think about things? Like, I want to know everything you think about everything. It was like, no, like, you're an Israeli, and I want to hear what you think. And I was like, no, nobody, like, tell me everything about yourself, like, right now. And it was a great conversation, like, really. And then he was supposed to leave. And then I was going on stage, and I was like, just don't leave. Like, I'm going on stage, like, right now. He was like, okay. Like, I'll give you 5 minutes. And I saw it because he's got, like, a big head. So I saw his head, like, in the back, like, laughing. And I was like, yeah, that's for you, Douglas. Woo! So, yeah, it was just an amazing guy.
Wait, real quickly, I wanted to ask, when we were talking about Aliyah, if you could convince anyone in the world to make Aliyah, who would it be and why? Been dying to ask you this question.
Wow. Any particular single person?
One person to make Aliyah.
To make Aliyah? Can it be two?
Yeah.
My parents.
Oh.
Oh. Nice. That was cute. That was very
right.
cute.
Mom, this is for you.
So, Ilan, give us a little background on how you got into advocacy. I know a lot of people who are looking to get into advocacy and reporting, and a lot of Olim who are kind of bored right now and jobless. So can you give us a little background on how, like, did you study this in college? Like, how did you get into this this area of your work?
It has been the most bizarre sequence of events that has led to me being here. Look, if at the beginning of the war you told me that within a few months I was going to have a character on Eretz Nederet, our version of SNL.
Crazy.
An audition for Dancing with the Stars.
Oh!
He hasn't released
all
it.
All these interviews and podcasts. I would have asked you, what are you smoking? Okay, this was not how I expected this year to go. When the war erupted, I was a private citizen. I'd finished working for the president a few months earlier, was taking a short professional break, working out my next steps, and then boom. When the war started, I started giving interviews from home. I took a pile of books, put them on the living room table, took the bottle of protein powder, haven't been to the gym since the war started, put it behind a nice banker's lamp for a nice glow on top. I took a picture, tweeted it saying, hello, I'm a former advisor to the president and I'm available to give interviews about what's going on in Israel. And within a week, I found myself getting roped in an official capacity to speak for Israel. So look, I came to this position after 5 years as a TV news anchor, 2 years doing political communications for the president as well. So I had this background. But really the most useful training I've had, and I would recommend this to anyone who wants to get involved in pro-Israel advocacy, debate club. Debate club for 10 years from high school through to college. You get given a subject you know nothing about, or you know everything about, but you support the other side.
Oh, wow.
And you have to come up with the most convincing speech. You have 15 minutes to do it, to come up with the most convincing speech and then stand up and with a straight face make this argument, and someone will interrupt you and ask you a question, and you need to know exactly the right way to slap them down. And in the middle of their speech, to get up and say, on a point of information, and try to find a contradiction. And so it just becomes like muscle memory. It's like doing mixed martial arts. You just learn how to pack a punch at some point. So if you want to learn how to make the case for Israel, don't think narrowly about how do I specifically argue for Israel. Think about how you argue, about how you think on your feet, how you think critically, how you hold your ground. Absolutely critical skill. And by the way, Israelis are world champions.
Really?
I was surprised to find this when I was at university, traveling around the world to debating championships. The Israelis mop the floor with everyone. They're constantly getting to the final of every European debating championship, world debating championship. Many Israelis, you know, think arguing is just shouting and screaming and who can be. But really, the like Hebrew University, Tel Aviv University, the others have a fearsome reputation around the world for how good their debaters are.
I did not know that.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I really hope my dad isn't listening to this, because he was basically forced me to do debate club in high school and I said no, and it's my biggest regret to this day. And
yeah, but you don't have to. You're a woman.
Oof.
You're already naturally.
Oof.
Stop being Americans and shut up. Okay. Okay. Oof. Oh my God. That's no. You're obviously naturally very good at arguing.
Do you think I'm good at arguing?
Yeah.
Personally, on a personal
You convince level. Me all the time of shit that I don't want to do.
Yeah, that's true. That is
so
true.
So you don't need the debate
Dad,
club.
I hope
How
you're
does
listening.
She do it? Does she do it by building a structured argument where she introduces her point and then she makes the point and then she concludes it at
no,
the end?
No, she just shout. She was like, we need to do this and that. And I was like, okay, calm down.
And he listens. Who made Comedy Show Kinda Happen with Michael? Kind of.
Okay,
whatever.
You.
We're not
You. Yeah, okay. Yeah, sure. You.
All right, Elon, question.
Yes.
What's the weirdest interview you've ever had on this journey these past few months? Weirdest interview.
Wow, I get asked all the time about the craziest questions I get asked. Of course, there was the famous incident with Kay Burley on Sky News.
That was amazing.
When this was the moment that...
The eyebrow raise.
The eyebrows, exactly.
The eyebrows.
The eyebrows.
Will
this
you,
was the
will
moment
you give us
that
the
catapulted
eyebrows?
Me and... That was the moment that catapulted me, like pop culturalization of bizarre. But I mean, just the other day I was on the phone with Norwegian radio and they asked me, why are Israeli soldiers blocking the Rafah crossing? And I said, do you mean the crossing between Egypt and Gaza? And they said, yes. I said, well, that's the Arab Republic of Egypt. It's sovereign Egyptian territory. We don't have soldiers there. Like, do you think we launched a surprise invasion of Egypt while no one was looking? Another question, he says, so we've seen mass destruction in Gaza. Are you going to pay for it or do you expect us to pay for it? Like, excuse me? Hamas launches RPGs at our soldiers from out of a building. We strike back and then you expect us to pay for the damage for defending ourselves and trying to get the hostages who are trapped in the terror dungeons?
Oh my God.
Sometimes I get asked questions that are just on a factual basis. I say no. I have to push back on that. And just perceptions that are completely twisted about what is happening and why we're doing this. Sometimes they seem to think we want this. They don't Crazy. Understand how much Israeli society is suffering from this awful war we didn't want, we didn't start, we didn't expect, but we have to win because otherwise it will happen again and it will be worse. And we just don't have the luxury to wish it away. Yeah. We wish we could. We don't. Yeah. We can't.
That eyebrow raise interview, did you see it? Do you know what? Yeah, obviously everyone's seen it. How do you? It became
tweet,
the biggest meme in Israeli history. Like
that tweet, I tweeted the video. Within 48 hours, it got twice as many views on my Twitter alone as there are people in the state of Israel.
Oh, that's crazy.
Damn.
Wow. That's a crazy.
And
that's
it,
crazy
I think
stuff.
It really hit a nerve because what that symbolized to people was that sometimes it literally doesn't matter what we do or what we say. People will always spin it against us. If our willingness to put dangerous criminals back on the street to get back stolen babies is evidence of our inhumanity or our immorality, it just doesn't matter what we do and it doesn't matter what we say. And that's why it really struck a nerve and went viral.
Absolutely.
And then you gained 200K followers? 200, how, what
the,
are you at now? 200?
The 220,000 followers on Instagram.
How much did you have before the war?
It was maybe 220. It was just friends and Twitter as well. I started the war with 25,000 followers. It's up to close to 190 now.
You're a celeb now. You have celeb status. You know, I was with him and people stop him all the time. And in New York now, you were just in New York. People stopped you all the time, asked you for selfies, hugs, whatever. Would you give up your celeb status and 220K Instagram followers to capture Sinwar?
In a heartbeat.
Okay.
In a heartbeat.
What do you think he's going to say?
He has no choice.
I love
no choice.
My followers.
In a heartbeat.
What is this?
In a heartbeat. I will gladly never, ever, ever be stopped in the street for another selfie if it means we can end this awful war immediately and 100%. Get all the hostages back home.
That's why he was
11. Me too, by the way.
150K followers.
What?
150K?
150. And my 285 on TikTok.
And he's been Instagram shadow banned for the longest
That's
time
true.
Now. So.
Really? Why?
Have you been shadow banned yet?
On Instagram? No. TikTok, I think that the algorithm is deliberately suppressing my content.
100%.
Instagram, no. Instagram's gone crazy.
Yeah, I got shadow banned because of Indonesia.
Indonesia.
My new favorite country.
Yeah. The thing is about Indonesia.
They really need to stop texting.
Yeah, absolutely. They do Photoshop pictures of me with like, you know, turban or whatever.
Do they do the thing with the diapers as well?
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
What diapers?
Because the IDF is the Israeli diaper army.
You haven't heard this?
No.
They call the IDF the Israeli diaper army.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah, it's weird. They're very upset. obsessed with diapers on grown men. It's very weird.
Yeah, so it's a very strange fetish.
They photoshopped me with, like, you know, like reading from the Quran or whatever.
That's
so incredible. It's so funny, so good that I share it all the time. And they get so nervous because I share their stories. They tag me and I share it. And I say, thank you very much. That's amazing. Can I send you pictures of me and you'll do more? And he's like, no, fuck you, baby killer. He doesn't know what's happening.
I think that's the best thing to do when you get so much hate thrown away. Because, like, you can probably imagine I've had one or two death threats thrown at me. Like every minute. Let me finish my sentence.
Okay.
Most of them I don't respond to. But the really creative ones, like, yeah, if they've really put in the effort to Photoshop me into something, then I will share it because, like, A plus for effort. Yeah. Kol hakavod, really.
If you're
this invested, I think 100%. Embracing it and deflecting it is a terrific way of dealing
with it. I love it. I do every Thursday, I do like mitzad. You know, like the top five best Photoshop pictures of me. Like, and I let people choose.
Why are they coming after you?
I don't know. It's me and Guy Hochman.
Why?
I don't know.
You're comedians.
No, but he's been really advocating.
Yeah, but I did all this, you know, videos about the war and explaining and everything.
I think it's because they know there is nothing more dangerous than keeping our spirits up.
Yeah.
And so they want to come after the people who are trying to lift this nation's broken morale, because they want to break us.
Absolutely.
And they won't.
And I'm so...
Because we're unbreakable.
That's true. That's 100% true. And I'm so grateful that they do me as a dude and Guy Hochman as a woman. You know what I mean? For them, it's like, oh, he's blonde, he's a woman. So I'm like, yeah. Why not? Yeah, sure.
So I asked Matan this last podcast, but I'm curious to hear your answer. What has been your favorite hate comment received?
My favorite hate comment?
Or best. Yeah, best hate comment.
I think the woman who marched through London with my face on a sign saying the Goebbels of Gaza.
I saw that. That was crazy.
Yeah.
That was insane.
Pretty wild. That was pretty insane. Wild.
That's when you know you've made it.
That's, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, take a drink of water and sit down, lady. Okay.
That's amazing.
Chill.
Have you had your face on?
No, I really want to, but it didn't happen yet.
That's when you know that you're getting under their skin. It's not a question of made it or not made it.
Yeah.
That's when you know you are cutting through. Look, I've done over 100 interviews just for the British media this war. As far as they're concerned, I'm the face of what they think is a genocide, right? Pretty scary.
Yeah.
But if they're associating that with my voice, then clearly it means I've been able to have an impact. And so I hope people are listening.
Yeah.
Tearing up.
I've never been a face of a genocide. That sounds interesting.
No, it's not what I wanted to be when I grew up. But thankfully, it's not a genocide. So
It's not. It's just they're just throwing out words and, you know.
And they're seeing what sticks. And they are finding that just the more ridiculous it gets, the more people are willing to go along with it. The closer Hamas is to defeat, the more hysterical the allegations.
Yep, 100%.
And there is just such a large constituency of people around the world who want to believe that the Jews are evil, that they will believe anything they are told. I really don't think there is any allegation of evil too ridiculous that these people will say, Adpo, like, you've gone a little bit too far.
No, they'll do anything.
Like witchcraft? Anything. No.
Anything. So, Elon, first of all, on a personal note, you've been super, like, impressive and a big inspiration to all Olim. I seriously mean that. Like, Olim, look up to you in this community because you're, you know, you've done, like, the impossible. Stop laughing.
I'm looking at her. She's all like, yeah.
Yeah, she's not. She's about to be in a lot, by the way. Mm. But seriously, like, you're a huge inspiration to us because you're advocating and you're not Israeli. You're just an Olé and who made Aliyah, who's, you know, speaking out on behalf of everyone here. And it's a big deal. So first of all, I wanted to say thank you.
Okay, you're buttering me up. I'm wondering where this is going now. Okay. Yeah.
A lot of people listening to this are thinking about making Aliyah or hesitant on making the step. What could you say to the audience who are thinking about making Aliyah? And don't say don't do it.
Do it for the right reasons. Do it for the right reasons. Don't come because you're running away from something, unless you're living in a country where you're genuinely fearful for your safety and think there is no future for the Jewish community. And I can certainly think of a handful of countries where that may be true and it's time to call it quits. But come to Israel for the right reasons. Come to Israel because, as the Olim in Tel Aviv Instagram page shows and reminds everyone, it's awesome. And life here is vibrant.
Tinder Tuesday.
And people are living on the edge.
You'll find relationships.
You should make Aliyah. Come with money.
That's a good piece of advice.
Come with a plan. Come with a plan. And we'll see you in Tel Aviv.
Because yeah, we
it's
will.
The only habitable city.
Not Hulon.
Cholon is amazing.
I wasn't going to bring it up.
But it's not. But he's right, because Cholon is not for Olim, you know?
It's not for anyone.
Look, I love cities. I love cities that are walkable, where you don't need a car, where all you need is your two legs, maybe a scooter and a bicycle. Yeah. And there are benches and there are trees and cafes and street furniture. And Tel Aviv is simply the only city in Israel, apart from a certain area of central Jerusalem. I'll give them credit. The only city that has that, because after independence, this whole country was designed around cars. And Tel Aviv is really the only city that has a city center that was still built around people. And they've done an amazing job of rolling out bike lanes across the city. And so it's easily the most walkable, habitable, prohibitively expensive city.
I've never heard someone speak so nicely about Tel Aviv.
No, but he's right.
He's right.
In comparison, right? To Holon.
Yeah, Holon is amazing. But I got to tell you, I walked around with my friend. She's an Ola, and we walked around, and somebody heard us. She's a friend. Shut up. I have friends. So we walked around, one of the, like, an old dude heard us, like, speaking English, and he was like, "You American?" She was like, "Yeah." He was like, "Oh, good." I just stand there and looked at her. And she was like, Hulon, "Can we go?"
The funniest like, part, sure. He was telling Michael, he's from Hulon. Michael was like, "I've never heard of it." And we were like, "It's the best city in Israel." Michael was like, "Wait, maybe we should," like being dead ass serious. We should go. We're like, "Oh my God.
You should take me to Hulon." I was like, "No."
We want you to like Israel.
Okay, we're going to get into the fun stuff now.
This wasn't the fun stuff?
No.
This was the serious.
That was the serious
part of the podcast.
So we're going to play, you know the game, Fuck, Marry, Kill?
I can't play this.
No, you can't.
You won't.
But you know the game. Like if I asked Matan, Fuck, Marry, Kill, Israeli girls, American girls, European girls, you would know how to answer that.
Yeah, I do. And we'll live it at that.
I'm not in the room for this.
Instead of playing Fuck, Marry, Kill, because you are a government spokesman, we're going to play a friendly game of acquaintance, friend, BFF.
Acquaintance, friend,
BFF.
Best friend forever.
Yes.
Okay.
So, Bibi Netanyahu, Joe Biden, Donald Trump.
You're trying to get me into trouble, aren't you?
It's acquaintance, friend, BFF. It's not a Mary Kill.
I couldn't possibly say anything that would be construed as intervention by Israel in this year's American elections.
100%. Yeah. Yeah, he's right.
I think every American president has always been and will always be our best acquaintance, our best friends, and our best friends forever.
Good way of getting out
Amazing.
Of it.
Amazing.
Thank you. It took me a moment to clock the right answer.
So, acquaintance, friend, BFF, Matan Peretz, Michael Rappaport, Douglas Murray.
Acquaintance, friend, BFF. No, you see, the problem with your...
I'm an acquaintance.
Like you're asking
I can
me
feel
to
it
pick,
coming.
You're asking me to pick the least favorite one. You're asking me to pick a least favorite of these three people who like me at the moment, and I'm desperately trying to triangulate and work out. Like, who do I most want not to hate me?
That's basically the game.
That's basically the game. But the problem is when you normally play this game, the people aren't sitting directly in front of you when you have to choose who you like the least.
That's high stakes game.
So what's the next question?
Next.
What are you doing? He's a government official. You can ask me this shit.
I think you are determined to create a diplomatic incident.
100%.
And I will not allow it to happen.
That's not the goal. Don't worry, it won't happen.
I want to be BFF with Joe Biden.
Why don't you ask acquaintance, friend, BFF? Joe Biden, Donald Trump, Bibi Netanyahu.
Bibi, friend.
Okay.
All right. Donald Trump scares me.
So acquaintance.
Like, I don't know. Like, I bet he's a good guy. I want Joe Biden to be my BFF.
No comment.
Just like he's like a chill dude. You know what I mean? It's just like me.
Very chill.
very chill dude. So, yeah.
Very chill.
And in fairness to President Biden, he talks with a lot of fondness about his first meeting with Golda Meir.
He does.
50 years ago. So in terms of best friend forever, he has
true.
Been Israel's
That's
friend
a good
for
point.
A
He's very
That's
loyal.
A very good point. That's a very good point.
Yeah, he met Golda half a century
Crazy.
Ago.
Crazy.
Yeah, I wanted him to talk about me in 50 years.
I don't know if that'll happen, but a guy can dream.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't know if everyone listening saw this, but we did a Tinder Tuesday post with Elon Levy, a Zionist Valentine's Day edition, where we forged...
They were not real prompts.
They were not. They were forged Hinge prompts.
They were not real screenshots, as many people asked.
So many people commented, they were like, oh my God, does he actually have a Hinge? Is this his real Hinge? Like, is this what he actually looking for? So I thought this would be the perfect time and place to rapid fire you Hinge prompts.
Okay.
And you have to answer them.
I have to answer them.
You have to.
Okay. I have to you or have, else.
Or else you don't want to find out.
Or okay.
Okay. Prompt number one. Green flags I look for.
A good sense of humor.
Yes. Yes. That's
I'm assuming
idea.
That's his green flag.
100%.
Like be funny. Great. Life is miserable enough that.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I got a shot to be more than an acquaintance.
Okay, most spontaneous thing I've ever done.
Once I was cycling through the fields near Cambridge. It was a very hot day and I stripped down to my underwear and jumped in the river.
It's pretty spontaneous.
Pretty spontaneous.
It is.
Yeah.
It's the most spontaneous thing you've ever done.
You don't want to know.
Okay, okay.
That's we'll Elon right at, now. That's not me.
We'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
My love language is...
Hebrew.
Nice.
Yes.
The one thing you should know about me is...
What do you think the one thing is people should know about me?
I don't know you that well enough yet.
Okay. But as your favorite acquaintance.
You're not. You're bestie level. Come on.
Okay.
You're bestie level. So as your bestie level. You're vegetarian?
Pescatarian.
Oops.
Oh,
see?
That's
a good one thing. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, yeah.
It's only fish. Like it's.
Yeah.
No, I eat other things apart from fish.
No, but like, okay.
He doesn't eat meat.
Yeah.
It's very Moroccan.
Because meat is murder.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And he genuinely means that.
I'm
trying really hard not to laugh, but he genuinely means that, so I'm not gonna laugh. Respect. Yeah. I will be having a cheeseburger after this. What's
the
your
Jew
most...
and the vegetarian.
What's your most controversial opinion or hot take?
I'm obviously not going to say it with a camera trained on me.
Something that's camera appropriate.
Something that's camera appropriate, but just controversial enough that I can say it on camera, but it still counts as controversial?
Doesn't have to be politics related.
Okay, the most controversial opinion?
Yeah.
Israel has a right to win this war.
Yeah, perfect.
Okay, not controversial in this country, but around the world, apparently it's a hot take.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think he's going to say? Listen, Asian people. No, obviously.
Well, it doesn't have to be. It can be anything. Like mine is shawarma is only good with ketchup. That's pretty controversial.
What the?
That was
it.
You.
That's it.
That was you.
Me.
No, because I saw this on the hot take
takes,
hot take Thursday. And I thought,
out.
Who is this lunatic?
He's out.
No.
I have a ketchup problem. Yeah, that was me. That got so much hate.
Shame.
And guys, go in the comments
after.
This
is what
like,
happens when we encourage Americans to make aliyah.
Exactly.
They ruin everything.
Everyone commented, this person should be deported. Who the fuck is this person? Deport them. I'm like, that's actually
me. Yeah, they are right. They are right.
Okay, I know the best spot in town for.
Ooh.
And don't say sunset. Everyone says that.
Okay, well, there goes my answer. The best spot in town for where does this prompt normally go?
Coffee, shawarma, restaurant. I don't know anything.
Wow. Best spot. You've really stumped me. It's just such a broad question that it's like best spot in town for like there are a million things that could be a best spot.
You choose
in town.
I know the best spot in town for coffee.
What's the best spot in town for coffee?
Chacho's.
Where's on Gula, that's a good coffee.
Thank you. See?
Not much seating space.
Yeah,
but they make a good coffee.
Yeah.
They make a good coffee.
Your turn. I know the best spot in town to work out. Space Gym.
Oh, okay. That's not bad. Best spot in town to just sit with friends and imbibe the atmosphere. Dizengoff Square.
I knew he was going to say
think,
that.
No, just to think a few years ago, it was this horrific concrete overfly area. And they finally flattened it and made it basically the only European-style square.
That's true.
In the city, not to mention the country. The best place to just sit, grab a coffee, and people watch.
And by the way, when celebrities want to announce their new relationships, they go there.
Do they?
And have a coffee and invite photographers.
Ah.
That's why all the photos you see, like, oh, is that a new couple? And you see from Dizengoff Square.
So who's pulled that trick?
Almost any, like all of them. Like really, like you would be surprised of how many. That's what they do. Like if you want to announce a new relationship, you don't go and say like, oh, you like take a picture of someone kissing. Like, no, you just sit. Have a coffee and let the rumors start. Just like, that's what, like, I know, like, my friends or celebrities are like,
wow,
that's
now
what
I have
we
to
do.
Be careful about going to sit with a friend for a coffee in the square in case I give off the wrong impression.
Just so you know, that's what they do.
Okay.
The hallmark of a good relationship is?
Good communication.
Sweet.
And Hebrew, obviously.
And Hebrew. And with humor.
And with humor. I'll brag about you to my friends if...
I mean, food is the way to any guy's heart, right?
You're a pescatarian.
We eat food.
Yeah. If she makes like a mean food. Fish.
Yeah, Moroccan fish.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You make a good khoumi.
There you go.
Like, and challah. Like, bichlal.
I'm weirdly attracted to.
What are you doing?
It's Hinge.
Jews.
So I asked this question to a guy the other day, and he was like, feet. And I was like, I'm out.
You see, that's what we're not doing now.
And last one, biggest date fail in Tel Aviv.
Next question.
There was a pro-Palestinian girl.
That was good. That was good.
Thank you. I do my
best.
But
now I have to deflect the questions back onto you.
For me?
Yeah.
Oh, my worst date? Oh, she...
He has too many.
Yeah, I think the worst one... It's a long story, but I'll make it very short for you guys. We went to a bar that she recommended.
Okay.
It was like an open mic for musicians. So I was like, why not? I've been a musician for a long time. Sounds great. Live music. Why not? We went. Then she told me, like, I have to go to the bathroom. I was like, sure. She went. Like, 10 minutes went by. 15 minutes went by. And I was like... I have to go to the bathroom too. Like, I don't want to leave all our stuff here.
Okay.
But also, so, like, where is she?
Exactly. So I told the waitress, I was like, listen, I'm not leaving. Just keep an eye on our stuff. I'm just going to pee like real quick and I come back. And I went to the bathroom and she was making out one of the lead singers of the, like, yeah. Turns out he wasn't.
And expecting you to watch her bag. What chutzpah.
Yeah,
that is
exactly.
The definition of
chutzpah. She brought me there because her ex-boyfriend was performing.
Whoa.
Oh, did you know that before?
No. And the worst part was that I
That's
had to
bold.
Like, they were kissing in that, like, outside of the bathroom, like on the hallway. So I had to like scooch like while they were kissing. I have to pee. Like, you know what I mean? Like, get my back to the wall.
You didn't pay for that date.
No, I went back to the table after I peed and just like I paid for my half and I left.
No, you didn't give it a chance after that?
What? No.
Was she Israeli?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Israeli girls have the, like, my worst dates are Israeli girls. American girls are just like, if it's bad, it's bad. It's okay. And we both know and just drop her off. But Israeli girls are just like, the level of chutzpah is unbelievable.
That's a pretty crazy date story. Mine's not that crazy. We're not going to talk about it.
Are we not? Or are we?
I mean, it's not as crazy. It's just going to be like pretty lame. I went on a Bumble date at this bar near Habima and the hostess comes up to us and she's like, let me show you to your seat. So she shows us to our seat and this guy fully skips to the seat. Like, you know what skipping is? Like, yeah, skips to the seat.
He was excited.
You don't, like a little kid,
what,
like a 10-year-old kid.
He was very excited. I skip when I'm excited.
I wanted to bury myself. I was like, I really hope no one I know is here. I No, imagine skip. No.
That's your worst date?
Yes.
Some guy skipping?
Yes, it was,
what the fuck is wrong with you?
And then he made weird animal noises in the middle of the date.
Okay, that's weird.
Yeah. What animal noises?
Horse, cow.
What are you?
Apropos of...
He was just like being like, I can make weird animal noises. And then he started making weird animal noises.
I think he
noises.
Was just, I mean, I can understand this. He was very excited and then clearly very nervous.
Very nervous.
That doesn't give him an excuse
you
to skip.
You said in silence. You just said in silence. And
I
he was
left
like,
after 30
I can
minutes.
Make weird animal noises.
No, but that's impressive to have that effect on people that you make them so nervous they make animal
that's
noises.
So sweet. Yeah. I don't know if I would call that impressive, but that was my worst date.
I bet he got home and he was like, what the hell was that? I made a horse noise at some point.
It was, guys, it was the weirdest thing. I wanted to die and bury myself.
Okay, I'm sure he did, you know.
Okay, last section.
Okay.
You know what section this is?
No.
Hot takes discussion. Aileen okay. Levy is the face of our Hot Takes Thursday.
That's
Hot Takes
true. Thursday.
Can I send you a better headshot to use for Hot Takes?
It's his face in front of Hilton Hill.
I love it.
I don't know which selfie you took that from. It's bad lighting. It's a bad angle. I have much more flattering from the other side, my good Amazing. Side. Terrible.
Send it to me after. Half of the hot takes submitted are related to Aileen Levy. Just
no, they're
so,
not.
Yes, they are.
No, they're
hot
not.
Hot take, Aileen Levy's hot. Hot take, I want to marry Aileen Levy. Levy. It's and I'm like, these aren't hot takes. They're valid. I even made one valid take Thursday.
Yeah.
So we're gonna discuss a few of these and we're gonna debate them. Okay.
We have time for like two, so we'll do it very quick. Okay.
Ellie's gonna kill me. Okay.
No, it's okay. We got distracted talking about Noah's animal noises. Hit me.
Hot take number one: you actually can meet your soulmate at a TLV club.
It's a hot take. I don't think you can meet your soulmate at a TLV club.
Why not?
It's a TLV club.
Exactly. I don't...
No further...
Soulmates don't go to clubs? They don't have nights out? You can meet soulmates in the strangest places.
Do you go to That's TLV true. Clubs?
I don't club.
Exactly. Exactly. You know why.
No, being surrounded in a dark room with very loud noise and people bobbing up and down is my idea of hell.
Yeah.
So...
I'm the same way. I'm 100%
yeah,
the same way.
Yeah, I don't, you don't go. Yeah.
No.
We can have a conversation with
exactly.
someone.
Exactly. I hate the... What's your name?
That's true.
Horrible every time. So no.
So it's
if
a hot
she's
take.
My soulmate, she won't go clubbing. I'll tell you that.
Like before me, if you're just meeting her now and she goes clubbing, is that like how do you?
She
feel?
She used to.
Yeah,
I have no problem okay. with that.
But if she wants to go on a night out with her friends clubbing,
go do whatever.
Okay,
you
that's
want.
Fine. Then.
As long as you're leaving me alone in silence, okay, I'll be okay. happy to.
Okay.
Golda is the best ice cream in TLV.
True.
It's good.
It's so good.
It is.
Yeah.
Good. I don't think it's a hot take, but everyone screamed about it in the comment section. They were like, Golda's shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Golda's good, yeah. but there are some others. A place on Nahalat Binyamin I like. I think Arte, I had like a chocolate chili ice cream once that had good flavors.
I'm not going to read that. I'm not going to read your shawarma bullshit. Shame on you.
Oh, no. What about this one?
What about what? This one?
Yeah.
Good vibes only isn't so bad.
Do you get the reference?
No.
Okay. Everyone's like, all the Israeli guys are like, I'm good vibes only. Oh, and then God. We all make fun, like all the American girls make fun of them because it's God. Like.
Because that's something they say.
Yeah. It's yeah. like, okay. you're not good. Like, it's just like a fuckboy thing to say. So okay. someone wrote, good vibes only isn't so bad. That's pretty controversial.
I don't
like, he doesn't get it.
Yeah.
We'll move on to
the reference
one.
Okay.
Netanya has a better Olim community than TLV.
I feel like Olim don't live in Netanya.
Where?
Yeah, where's Netanya? I don't even know
where. Where?
Netanya? Yeah, there's a lot of Americans in Netanya.
Really?
A lot.
It's the Olim capital of northern Israel.
Thank you.
Wow, that's a good...
Thank you. Anything past the Arkon River is northern Israel.
Yeah, or Lebanon.
We talked about that. It might as well be in Lebanon, yeah.
Israelis watch too much news. That is true.
Definitely. Israelis have an unhealthy... Like, you want to watch my interviews, go watch it. I'm not going but no, Israelis have an unhealthy connection to the news. I've had, you know, I speak to journalists and they say, look, we knew that when we came to Israel, it's a country that has lots of news. We didn't expect every hour the bulletin to have a changing story. We're a nation that is simply addicted to drama. There is a lot that is happening and a lot of drama, but even outside of wartime, you know, watching the nightly news at 8 o'clock in the evening is like a national pastime.
That's true.
So they do watch too much news.
100%. 100%.
Not
Israeli?
Controversial, whoever submitted this.
Not controversial. It's just
Validate.
Like the truth.
Yeah.
Like there are some people who tell you, like if people tell you, you should
like,
watch
I should just,
less
I,
news.
I should just say, I hope that none of the Israeli journalists are then going to get angry at me that I'm trying to somehow suppress their ratings or tell people not to watch.
No.
I love you guys. Watch them when they have, you know, watch them absolutely doing an absolutely valuable job. I love you guys.
Of course, but still.
But still,
as an Israeli who's not a government official, I can 100% say we watch too much news, too much TV in general, and it fucks with your mind.
When you disconnect from the sensationalism and the drama,
and
actually live your life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So before we finish, because Elon Levy is a very busy guy and has a bajillion other things to do. Also, Matan Peretz.
I have to go host my own podcast.
Yeah, he has his own podcast.
State of the Nation, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcast.
Crop this out. we have one more question for the fans watching this.
You think I'm coming on this for free?
One more question for the fans watching this. Elon Levy, will we see you on Dancing with the Stars?
Not this season.
Not this season. Wow.
Not this season.
Wow. No. So close.
You need to go on. You need to
look, if I do it, I'm going to win it.
Oh!
But not this season.
I have to say, I saw the audition. I saw it. It was phenomenal. It hasn't been released. He's not releasing
no,
it.
No. That video is not seeing light of day.
Holy moly. Yeah. That's interesting.
So stay tuned for an update on Dancing with the Stars next season.
Maybe.
Potentially.
Let's win first.
Let's win first. That was a good answer.
After victory is a whole new world.
Exactly. Yeah.
After Lebanon, 100% will be in this.
Let's destroy Hamas, bring back the hostages,
amen.
And then we'll rebuild.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Okay.
Thanks, guys, for tuning in. Anything else?
No, you can
listen Spotify.
We're streaming at Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast. I'm sorry, I don't say it with an accent.
Your podcast,
YouTube, TikTok, Instagram. We have the official Olim and TLV Instagram page.
Elon Levy's Instagram page.
Exactly, which is basically the same.
Everyone thinks Elon Levy runs Olim and TLV.
Is that the conspiracy theory doing around?
Yes, yeah. Everyone.
Like I have time to brush my teeth nowadays. The only time I eat sitting down is when there's a delegation that wants to take me out for some dinner. So how do I have time to run the most popular and sensational and influential Instagram page in town?
I'm blushing.
That's his backup page, you guys.
In case he gets suspended
from Instagram, he's got Olim and TLV. Thank you guys so much.
Elon,
thank you so much.
Thank you, Matan. Thanks. Let's all hope for better days.
Amen.
עוד יותר יוצרי התוכן של ישראל הוקלט באולפני אודיו המשווקת את ספוטיפיי בישראל.